91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today, our contributor Judith Bishop speaks with the curator of exhibitions, Jane Hart, about her long career in the arts and the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood's season of exhibitions. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information, and make sure to phone in your pledge to South Florida Arts Beat while the show is on the air. We'll be right back with you right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. Welcome back to a fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Please keep our pledge lines ringing while our program is on the air. The third oldest not-for-profit organization in Broward County, the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, features year-round exhibitions and programs for children, teens, adults, and teachers. Here's our contributor, Judith Bishop, with more information about one of the leading contemporary art organizations in South Florida.
Some cultural institutions are laser-focused on just one aspect of the arts. Others encompass a broader range of disciplines, and that seems to be the mantra at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, Florida. The center provides something for almost everyone, and that's been one secret of its success. The center opened in 1975 and moved to its current location in a historic mansion back in 1991. The mission has been to mount solo and group exhibitions that showcase established local, national, and even international artists. At the same time, the center is experimental, serving as a laboratory or an incubator for cutting-edge artists. It's a challenging agenda. The curator of exhibitions there is Jane Hart, who came on board in 2007. Prior to joining the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, Jane graduated from the School of Visual Arts in New York City and worked for 20 years in New York, London, and Los Angeles. She is our guest this afternoon. Jane Hart, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. It's great to have you here today. You are a curator, and it seems to me that a good curator has to have the soul of an artist, the monetary skills of a banker or a Wall Streeter, and the savoir-faire of a diplomat. Does that sound like an accurate job description?
Absolutely. I agree on all three points. I actually got into the art world over 30 years ago, first as an artist and started studying art when I was very young. And I do view the projects that I've done with artists at the Art and Culture Center for the last 7 years, as well as all of the things that I've done leading up to joining the center, as collaborations with artists. I work in very much of a way that is, I think, a very creative way of working. It's a give and take and a very collaborative effort. As far as the banker part, I would say in that sense, that's true as well. And in my particular case, because we're a smaller nonprofit, not like one of the major museums like PAM or Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale, we don't have a huge budget like they do. And so with a significantly less of a budget, I have to be resourceful enough to make a full season with probably less than what one of those institutions spends for just one show. And so that's challenging. And together with our executive director and our director of development, I think we do a pretty darn good job of making things happen with the resources we have. And then diplomacy, I think, is absolutely necessary. It's necessary in dealing not only with artists, but collectors and others in the art world. And I will say that over the years, I've worked with a lot of different artists. And I think one of the keys to making that aspect of the job easier is to make sure you try to work with people who are good people. And so I do tend to do that.
Wise choice.
Thanks.
There are some very traditional and some non-traditional paths towards becoming a curator. And you had a very interesting start and an early start. You audited classes at the University of Miami when you were 12 years old.
That's correct.
How did that happen and what did you learn?
I knew when I was a very young child that I wanted to be an artist. And at a fairly early age, my parents started me with art lessons. And the art lessons were at Eugene Masson's studio. Eugene Masson, who, for those listeners who don't know, was head of the art department at the University of Miami for many, many, many years and a very influential figure down here in South Florida. And so because I was taking the lessons at his studio, I was invited to audit his classes at the University of Miami, the figure drawing classes. And not to sound immodest, but Gene often said my drawings were among the best in the class. So I love drawing.
What an auspicious beginning. That's fantastic.
Yes.
How did you feel surrounded by people who were 20, 21 years old?
I didn't really think about it. I was just thrilled to be creating art. And art has really been the thing for me throughout my life, through the challenges and high points and low points. It's been like the constant that has really just given me a tremendous amount of joy and a sense of purpose in my life.
Well, as you say, you really did have an early immersion because in your teenage years, you lived in the Netherlands where you developed a love for Vermeer. How did that transpire?
Well, I love painting, and I will say that I'm actually a painting snob.
Good for you. We need that in our curators.
Yes. And I think Vermeer is certainly one of my favorite artists of, you know, Western art history, and I did have the good fortune of going to Delft with the family that I lived with in the Netherlands were very cultured, and they took me to a number of museums, the Stedelijk Museum, the Rijksmuseum, et cetera, the Louvre. We traveled to France. We actually traveled to go to different museums. And I also went to an arts academy there in the Netherlands, in addition to going to a Dutch-speaking HAVO, their version of a high school. So I had to learn Dutch, French, and all my subjects all at the same time in Dutch.
Gee, algebra and geometry are hard enough in English. It must have been a real challenge in Dutch.
Math is not my strong point, period.
After that, you studied at and graduated from the School of Visual Arts in New York City. What was your first job, and how did you land it?
Well, I went to SVA, and I actually moved back here to Florida, and I was a bartender at the 1800 Club, which existed for many, many years. And I did that for a couple years. And then I guess about maybe into the second year that I was doing that, a friend of mine who's also an artist invited me to join a group called Artifacts that is now, I think, really getting some attention as one of the earlier very impactful art scenes here in South Florida. So we would do makeovers of Fire and Ice, a club that was there in the design district. It was right across the street where Dash is now. And I also worked in a gallery that was right across the street from the club. So I just got very involved with this whole group of artists, and some of them I'm still very close friends with. And that was really my launching pad for ending up working for now over 30 years in the art world.
The design district must have been very, very different 30 years ago.
Very different, yes.
Well, it's come a long way, and so has the entire art scene in South Florida, which is really a terrific thing for all of us. One of the things I think has propelled the art scene here certainly is Art Basel. What's your take on that and the impact that it's had?
Well, having worked in the art world in New York, London, Los Angeles, and Miami, both prior to leaving to go to those foreign destinations as well as now, there's no question that Art Basel has had a tremendous influence on the art scene here in South Florida. And I think it's just so ripe with potential still and so many great artists that are working here. I do think that one of the issues that I have is during the fair, there is an awful lot of partying that goes on, and kind of a focus off of the art, and maybe not necessarily that the local artists are getting the kind of attention that they deserve and should have. But all in all, I think it's been a great thing. I mean, I wouldn't have moved back here from LA if it hadn't been for Art Basel. It was one of the deciding factors for me to come back here.
Well, that's certainly a ringing endorsement. We will be back with more with Jane Hart. She is the curator of exhibitions at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood. Stay with us.
It's a fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat here on WLRN and WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Thank you so much for your kind contributions made over the past 10 days. We greatly appreciate your generosity. If you haven't taken the time to contribute to what I hope is your favorite radio station, please do so now. Keep our pledge lines ringing throughout South Florida Arts Beat. Now the conversation continues with Judith Bishop and her guest.
We're back on South Florida Arts Beat with our guest, Jane Hart. Jane is the curator of exhibitions at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood. Jane, you've done a lot of interesting things. Back in the 80s, when art and Soho were exploding in New York, you were part of that scene. You worked at the Marlboro Gallery, and you were their special link to the artist Alex Katz, who's very popular here in Florida at Art Basel every year in many of the prominent collections. Tell us about him and those times.
Well, I had a very special connection with Alex, and he handpicked me to be his handler at the gallery. I did everything for him other than sales, which I was thrilled to do, along with many other responsibilities that I had there at the gallery during that time. And he and Ada, his wife, are just a wonderful couple, and they've been such an influence, Alex in particular, to so many artists, like up to the minute of what's going on in the art world right now. And I just admire him tremendously, and he had great respect for me and felt that I could be very responsible in overseeing anything that needed to be done, whether it be putting together an Alex Katz issue for Parkette magazine or making sure that his paintings were completely free of any, even the most minute amount of damage. Anything to do besides sales, I did for him. And at Marlboro, I worked with artist Red Grooms. I worked directly with Larry Rivers and a number of other artists that were there. And when I was leaving, I actually got an artist, Vincent Desiderio, into the gallery. The director really admired my interest in art and my passion for it, and he asked me for suggestions for the gallery. And I was following Vincent, and he's still with him today.
You have a good eye for talent.
And before I was at Marlboro, I was in the East Village, and that was definitely a very happening scene as well. And I knew many people who I'm still connected with now, some who are no longer with us, like Colin DeLand, who's one of my art world heroes. He had a gallery first called Vox Populi in the East Village, and then it was American Fine Arts. And I think he was just one of the most brilliant people in the art world in New York City during the 80s and 90s. He helped create the Armory Fair together with his wife, Pat Hearn. And anyway, it was a great time to be in New York. And then during the time that I was still there, you know, there was the big crash. And between that and some other personal issues, I decided to move out to Los Angeles. And that turned out to be one of the best life choices I had ever made. And it all happened very spontaneously and led me to a terrific 13 years in Los Angeles, where I worked with a great number of artists, from Doug Aitken and John Baldessari to Mike Kelly, Gregory Crutzen. It was amazing. And I had a gallery there as well.
Is there an underlying or universal lesson that you learned from these art icons?
Well, I had the good fortune when I was in L.A. to have dinner with David Hockney and Peter Gouldts, the director of L.A. Louvre Gallery, one night. And I just felt that, you know, David Hockney at that particular time, while he was a big-selling artist, he wasn't necessarily so appreciated by the most cutting-edge contemporary scene. And he didn't care. I mean, he was doing great things, opera sets and paintings and I mean, he was such an innovator. And I just learned that, you know, what I've learned over the years is that art stars come and go. True artists really stick to what they do. They hopefully have different stages in their career where they explore the possibilities and develop and, you know, just aren't churning out the same old thing over and over again. And I'd like to think that a good number of the artists that I've had the pleasure of working with over the years, out of hundreds of, literally hundreds of artists between what I did in New York, Miami, London, L.A., that those artists will have that success, especially the younger ones.
You've had a very rich resume, rich history, and interactions with great artists. When you first came to Hollywood, to the Art and Culture Center, you had all of these experiences, and I'm sure you had a vision. What was your vision initially?
When I first came to the center, it was after a couple of not-so-successful ventures into the art gallery scene here and having my own gallery. And so I ended up deciding I wasn't going to do that, and luckily they had a position open at the Art and Culture Center, which I was thrilled to have. And shortly after I had joined the center, of course, you know, the second kind of economic...
The big crash of 2008.
Yes. And in many ways, while I had ties to all of these artists in Los Angeles, New York, London, et cetera, and it was my goal initially to try to bring some of those artists here, the financial situation was prohibitive to that happening. So I really had to dig deep into what was going on here in our community. And I think at this point, the Art and Culture Center, we do exhibit more contemporary Miami-based or South Florida-based artists than any other institution. And I feel really proud of that because I think this is really, truly a dynamic time for artists of South Florida. And it's great to be part of that.
It is. It is a dynamic time. And we're going to explore that in detail. We'll be talking a lot about those artists and about your center in our next segment. So stay tuned. More coming up with Jane Hart of the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, right here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you on a fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We greatly appreciate your kind contributions made while the program is on the air. Your contributions act as a vote of confidence for WLRN's coverage of the arts from Palm Beach County to Monroe County. And now we return to the final segment with Judith Bishop and her guest.
We're back on South Florida Arts Beat with our special guest, Jane Hart, a woman with an interesting and exciting career, a passion for art. She is the curator of exhibitions at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood. Jane, you have a busy calendar coming up. What's on tap right now and what can we expect in the coming months?
Well, I'm super excited about this season. I mean, I'm excited about every season as we get ready, but I think this year we really have a blockbuster season. It started with some shows that are up right now that I think are phenomenal. We have a group show that was actually curated by Beatrice Monteviaro and Priya Darcini Ray. It's called Echos Myron, which is the title of a Guided by Voices song. We have close to 100 pieces in the show, and it's all artists who are also musicians or musicians who are artists here in South Florida, and it's just really phenomenal. There's lots of sound elements, not the typical thing you might see in a museum setting, and I just think it's a very vibrant exhibition and brings together kind of these two communities. So we had a just phenomenal opening, and I highly recommend people come up to see the show, especially if you're interested in music as well as art. And in our project room, we have an exceptional site-specific installation by Sri Prabha. He's originally from India, but he has done just a superb site-specific installation involving video and sound, and it's basically like a cosmic campsite, I want to say, and it's literally throbbing. So it's great. And he has some other big projects coming up. And actually, he'll be giving a talk on October 21st at the center that evening. He'll be discussing his show in depth with critic Marjorie Gordon, and I understand that he also has a visiting astronomer coming.
It is cosmic, then, if you're bringing
it. It's very cosmic.
Now, all of the museums and the galleries and cultural arts center here in South Florida have extravaganzas during Art Basel in early December. What are you having pegged to that event?
Well, we actually have four projects going on during that time. The way that I've done it curatorially is often to divide the four galleries that we have on our first floor into sometimes separate shows. So for Art Basel, we're going to be having the phenomenally talented Dave Muller, who's an LA-based artist. He's exhibited internationally. He's been in shows at both MoCA and at the Miami Art Museum. He was Mike Kelly's longtime primary assistant, and most of the work that he does, if not all, relates back into the history of music, from rock and roll to jazz to early music. So he's done many projects that relate to music, with flow charts on the wall, and just very dynamic. So he's coming, and he'll be here for about almost 2 weeks to do a site-specific installation in the main gallery that will explore the development of the genre of rock and roll in like a timeline and then with individual works. And we actually got Iggy Pop to contribute his top 10 favorite albums so that Dave can make a version of a portrait of Iggy Pop using that information. So we're doing these other shows that kind of tie in with that in the two middle galleries. Again, site-specific installation by Miami artist Bhakti Baxter, who basically, since I first moved here from L.A., has been one of my absolute favorite artists. So I'm excited that we're finally doing a solo show with him, and actually made one of the top 10 picks in the Miami Herald Season of the Art. So I think that's terrific. And then in the project room, we have an old friend of Ed's and mine, Michael Dean, a.k.a. DJ Yard, is going to be setting up a pop-up record store in the project room with all kinds of not only vinyl, but posters, ephemera, all kinds of stuff. And people will actually be able to buy records during set times during that period. And for the opening weekend, Dave does a thing that he's done in various cities around the world. It's called 3-Day Weekend. And it's very interactive with the community. So his opening night will be on November 14th. He'll be doing a DJ set for the opening. The next day, the 15th, we'll have a talk with him at the gallery. And then on Sunday, he's going to be making like custom-made pins, you know, like the little pins that people wear on their jackets. And so people can bring their own art and whatnot. And then we also have the Florida Ukulele Network is going to be there playing hard rock, like the Ramones, on ukulele. So that, I think, is going to be a blast.
I don't think they did that at CBGB's.
No. And then we have a little exhibition kind of platform on our staircase called The Landing. And we have another LA artist that's going to be showing there. Her name's Annie Buckley. And she created a unique tarot card deck out of collages that she produced. And so throughout the whole weekend events, she's also going to be doing free tarot card readings. So it's going to be a big weekend, lots of fun, lots of music, lots of creativity.
Well, you have a real theme going of the marriage of music and art. Is that something you wanted to do for a long time and now you're able to tie it all together?
Well, it didn't really, I wasn't really planning it that way, but I'm really into music, so I will admit that it's a subject that I am very interested in. It just so happened that this worked out, and we did get a grant from Funding Arts Broward. We got a Knight New Work Award from Funding Arts Broward to help underwrite this show. So I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to do the show with Dave. You know, to have an artist come and stay and do all of that for a period of time is, you know, we don't typically do that. I mean, we do mostly show artists that are here within South Florida. but he will be here for, like I said, about 2 weeks. And anyway, it wasn't necessarily planned to be that way.
Well, it worked out that way, and it sounds like it'll be a bonanza for those who love art and those who love music. Thank you, Jane Hart, for being with us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Judith.
The Art and Culture Center of Hollywood is located at 1650 Harrison Street in Hollywood. For more information on their full calendar of exhibitions, workshops, and educational programs for both adults and children, you can log on to their website, artandculturecenter.org, or you can telephone them directly at 954-921-3274. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. Thank you so much for your kind contributions made during the show. They count as a vote of confidence for arts coverage here on WLRN. We greatly appreciate your generosity. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner is our technical director. We'd also like to thank today's contributor, Judith Bishop. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep those pledge lines ringing and keep your dial set to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.